May we start with a word of prayer. We thank you, Father, that you're here among us, and please might the words that you have given be a blessing to all of us, that we might move a little bit closer to you. Help us to live the life of faith that will allow us to be a blessing to others, to tolerate the conditions in this world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. By beholding, we become changed. Here we are. We understand in our heads that spiritual things are what really matter, that God has always been and always will be. And we know that all material things came into existence by the word of his mouth. We know that all life flows from him, and that the miracle of life is sustained moment by moment only by his power and his grace. Oh, what a God whom we are privileged to even be allowed to serve. And our sincere but feeble efforts to serve him are accounted to us as righteousness. And he is even preparing houses for us to live in his neighborhood. What a God who sees us for what we are, blind, wretched, poor, and naked, born into sin and tending to do wrong, and yet he loves us anyhow. His love is perfect. For he is perfect. He can do no less, for he is God. And what can we do with his love for us? We can choose to serve him with a whole heart, and that is the right service we are to give our Creator. We know this spiritual reality, but for now we are surrounded by the cares, the desires, the distractions of this world. We have financial concerns. We see members of our church family aging. We see them having health problems. We have our own pains and health concerns. And we see members of our church family passing on. And we realize, too, that we are part of the flow of life. I appreciate what Pastor Gale said once. He said that life is hard. It is hard. Nobody escapes this life without receiving scars and hurts. But through the eye of faith, we can have a life and be co-laborers with Christ to serve in a mission that is bigger than ourselves, that we now comprehend only dimly as we walk in faith. My talk this morning is based on a sermon given by Ellen White entitled, Talk Faith and Move Forward. It was given at the Australasian Union Conference in 1899. That was a while ago, but as we're told in Ecclesiastes, there is no new thing under the sun. John 17, 1-4, these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus' mission was about service, and he is our example. How about that? He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. As Christ's followers, each of us has a specific work to do. How does that make you feel? Almighty God has a job for you to do. He has given you abilities and resources and health for his purposes and to help our brothers and sisters in their path of life, to share with them the Jesus that we know. While we know Christ in one sense, that he is the Savior of the world, it means more than this. The world tends to think of God as supernatural, mystical, and unapproachable. The true God and Creator of all things wants to be personal with us. We must have a personal knowledge and experience in Christ Jesus, an experimental knowledge of Christ, what he is to us, and what we are to Christ. This is the experience that everyone wants. The work that is to be done for us is to be through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God upon human minds and hearts. The heart must be purified and sanctified. None of us needs to feel a doubt as to where we are or to think, I wish I knew where I stood before God. But by living faith, we must sink ourselves in God, and when we do that, His life will shine upon us. There is no need for us to be ineffective and not have the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Each of us has the need to accomplish something useful, that our life amounted to something. That need is only met in serving Him. None of us should feel that we are not good enough to come to Him. Jesus came to seek the lost, and Jesus does not fail in what He sets out to do. Lost is what we are without Him. What's the matter with us? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. There are no ifs nor ands about it. But let him ask in faith, wavering nothing. You pray and ask God for wisdom, strength, and efficiency, and feel you must have them. But perhaps right after that prayer, it seems as though a hellish shadow of Satan was cast across your path, so you can't see anything else. But you don't have to give in to that. You don't have to accept what the devil wants you to take. Are we supposed to give in to our feelings when our Lord has prepared a perfect home for us? And if a heavenly home does not interest you, then you've been looking at the world too long. You have been deceived. You cannot judge God by looking at imperfect people. Our God in heaven knows what you really need. He knows what makes your life worthwhile, and He would like to give it to you for an eternity. What you really need is God. He knows that we are created in His image. Therefore, our heart's desires will only be met by the things that our Creator has designed for us. We sell ourselves short if we're not seeking after our real home, if we have allowed ourselves to be deceived. It has been said that nobody gets married planning to get divorced. Well, God has a plan for each of us, and He never fails. Jesus came down to this sorry place. He met the enemy and engaged him on his terms, and he passed the test. And he offers to take us past the distractions of life, to have us live a life with purpose. He waits for us. He waits for us to come to our senses, but we, like sheep, so often go astray. We talk about job satisfaction. Well, this is life satisfaction. At the end of the day, to know that you can meet the Lord someday and have Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Sometimes we think that miracles happened just in Bible times, but they happen in our own lives too. We think of God as supernatural. Well, yes and no. He does live in a higher plane, for He is God. But He is intimately involved with our existence, and He wants us to know and love Him on a personal level. Ellen White spoke of discouragement. "I have had that cloud settle upon me at times, but I knew that God was there just the same. Since this conference began, I have hardly been able at times to sit up. When I came to the meeting, I came by faith, and I didn't know that I could say anything. I had been in such terrible sickness that I could hardly tell my own name. But I said, 'I shall go. I am going to put myself in the channel of light, and there I am going to remain. Then I shall expect the Lord to help me.' I have a great deal of talking to do with the Lord in the night, and I always know He will help me. When I came in here, I was so weak, I did not know if I could speak or not. But you know how He gave strength to me. And the last time when I read that long paper to you, He gave me strength, and I thank Him that I had strength to do it. I have been astonished at the measure of strength given me." How does that sound to you? Wouldn't you like for your life to be a constant walk of faith, to not have your spirit be pulled down by whatever life throws at you? Think, I am a child of God. I have been put here for a purpose. Nobody can take my heritage away from me, to be and to live as his child. I've made mistakes in my life, but as he sustains my life moment by moment, he will empower me to do good things for him, and in him I will find fulfillment and meaning and truth. You know, truth is a rare commodity these days. We have been lied to on so many fronts and in so many ways. I would rather live with God in mind and not be concerned about the lies than to be blowing in the breeze with the world's ideas. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't let one single suggestion of the devil come in. It is to be nothing wavering, for him that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. The Lord will do great things for us if we will only show our trust in him. Another story she relates. I remember when I was in Switzerland, the darkness of the enemy came over the pathway when I was trying to do a work for God there. Have you ever felt the oppressing presence of our enemy trying to discourage you? I wanted to do a special work in erecting some buildings, and I tried every way to bring them around. Finally, after standing there so long and I could do no more, the meeting closed and I went to my room. I said, I will take right hold of the promises of God, and those promises are yea and amen, and I believe they are mine. Well, I said, Lord, teach me what to do in this emergency, for I am not going to give this up or waver in the matter at all. Now the Lord helps them that are of one mind, and it had seemed that there were as many different minds as there were different people. We wanted a school building and a meeting place. While I was praying, I said, I put my trust in thee. Thou wilt keep that which I have committed to thee. Thou must strengthen my faith. I kept holding right on, and as I prayed, it seemed that the sweet Spirit of God just went through the room, wave after wave, and every particle of unbelief or anything like it was brushed away, and we carried every point, and so the building was put up. Likewise, each of us is privileged to ask God to strengthen our faith. It's a simple thing. Our Lord was strengthened by his communion with the Father, and so it is with us. We need to maintain our connection with the Father. Sometimes we believe that something should be done, but we don't see how it's possible. Well, the Lord doesn't ask us about how we feel about something. He says, you know that it is a work for good that needs to be done. Take my hand and step forward. What we want is that faith that will not let go, a faith that will not fail or be discouraged. And how can we obtain that faith but by practice? If we have difficulty with knowing about faith, it's because we haven't exercised it enough. That's all. We need to cultivate the right habits of thought. Why, says one, how can we do all this if the Lord is coming so soon? Why, the Lord can do more in 1 hour than we can do in a whole lifetime. And when he sees that his people are fully consecrated, let me tell you, a great work will be done in a short time, and the message of truth is to be carried into the dark places of the earth where it has never been proclaimed. When we came to Melbourne, I was very sick. I had to be propped up with pillows. And they would carry me in their arms into the hall, and there I would speak to the people. But all the time I had the presence and blessing of God. It was a most precious time to me. How about that? She knew without a doubt that God was helping her in a very tangible way. When we come to the hardest places, we may know that all heaven is interested and will bear us up if we will not fail or be discouraged. Cling to the Mighty One. Does that sound like someone in need? Have we ever been in that circumstance? Do not talk unbelief at all, because the more you talk unbelief, the more unbelief you will have, and the more you talk darkness, the more darkness you will have, and the more you talk light, the more light you will have, and the more you talk faith, the more faith you will have. When we have developed wrong ways of thinking, when we have allowed ourselves repeatedly to do what we know we shouldn't, it will not come naturally to do the right thing. But when the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart's door, we may ask God to give us hearts of flesh instead of hearts of stone for our fellow man. We're all in this boat together. When we dial 911, help is at the other end of the line. When we pray, God is there. The truth of God must sanctify the whole man, body and soul. It's not the truth to you until you practice it. Our precious Jesus gave up all heaven to come to this world that he might sanctify us through the truth. Are we willing to be sanctified? That's a choice, just like we might choose this color of car or that color of car, this style of furniture. Do we choose? In his life and example, his lessons and his words, there was the sanctification of the Spirit of God. Sanctification was upon him for us. God himself worked through humanity just as humanity must work through humanity. That is why he took humanity upon himself, that he might teach humanity how to work for itself. He took humanity that he might experience death in our behalf, that we might have life and immortality through his life and death. He took humanity that he might experience death. It was necessary for him to experience death. And our job is that we must put one foot in front of the other and exercise our faith. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now that prayer of Christ is for us, that we may be sanctified through the truth, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Get out the coldness from your heart. Get out the evil surmisings. Get out every bad thought. And let the Lord Jesus take the throne of the heart and reign there. These are tall orders, but like when your boss might ask you to do something, he's also enabling you. Well, Christ enables us fully to do the job. It does not matter what we have done. We're to go forward in faith that the Lord forgives our mistakes, our sins, and it will be counted to us as righteousness. There is no help that we can get from anywhere else. When we make amends to one another, we reveal that our lives are motivated by a connection with God that lifts us above our natural selves, and thus we fulfill the commandment to love one another. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. The character that God gave him, he has given us, that they might be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do we ever feel like we don't belong? Can we take it in? It is a wonderful thing that God loves them that believe on him as he loves Christ himself. We are made one with God, and we want that oneness. We want to seek him earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints, and we want the spirit of the third angel's message. We want to realize that the end of all things is at hand, that speech is a talent, faith is a gift of God, and we must work and pray that God may preserve that faith. You must put your foot right on the word and say, I believe, I will believe, I will press to the mark of the prize, and everything that hinders me shall be swept away. I will not allow anything to interpose between my soul and God. No, the dark shadow of Satan will come right across our pathway if we let our faith sink in. But we must do as the eagle does when he is in the cloud and bewildered in the fog. He does not go one way and another as though distracted, but presses upward through the cloud until he comes into the light above. And so we should press upward beyond the hellish shadow of Satan when he tries to eclipse the rays of light that come from God. Now we want the life of Christ in our hearts to make us one, and there will be united action. We must press to the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what we need is that living, active faith that takes God at his word. We must have it, and God will let us have it if we will. We must not be discouraged. We want to get rid of unbelief. We do not want to talk it or act it or think it, but press forward to the mark of the prize of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. I feel anxious because I know that the time has come when God's people should put on their beautiful garments. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It is the word of infinite power that he wants you to eat and drink. He wants you to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And then the power of God will be in your midst. Then the voice will be touched with a peculiar power. The natural man does not love God or appreciate spiritual things. Turning toward home does not come easily. Does this mean that we should forget about God? No. The difficulty of the journey just shows how far we have drifted from where we ought to be. We were created in his image. That is our destiny. Nobody can take that from us without our permission. Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Let everyone inquire, is my name written there? Do not think about your brethren and sisters for fear they are not ready, but think about yourself. You want to know where you are and to know that Christ is formed within the hope of glory. You want to be constantly singing, and when you do that, you will stop your criticizing. If you are beholding him, you will not have time for anything else. And if you see his face, it will be reflected in your face. And all this mourning and groaning is dishonoring God. For whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. You are going to have trials in your churches because there are murmurers and complainers and fault finders there. Go straight ahead and be cheerful. Don't let your head be cast down or feel discouraged, but go forward firm in Christ, keeping your eye fixed on the crown of life which Christ, the righteous judge, will give you in that day. Just keep praising God. And when the devil tempts you, sing. When Christ was a child, he was tempted in every way. And what did he do? He sang psalms and praised God, and there was music in his voice. And there was an impression made upon the hearts and minds of those who heard him. He wants you to have heaven in view, and heaven is a good deal nearer than you think. God's holy, anointed ones are right by you, and here is his church, the greatest object of his love that it is possible for him to have. He is watching over every one of us. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he gave his life for me, and God forbid that I should be a coward. When the children of Israel went out to fight, God told them to sing, and as soon as they began to sing, their enemies fled, for they saw the whole army of heaven before them. They were afraid of their destruction and fled. God wants us to vanquish the enemy. Let us pray as we have never prayed before. We do not pray half enough. We ought to pray and have regular meetings together. I have thought that it seemed selfish that God would have to love me first before I would love him back. But in honesty, there is nothing good in me. We have nothing to offer. All we can do is respond to his love. In that way, we are fulfilling his design. We are fulfilling his will for us. And here are some thoughts from the book, Mind, Character, and Personality. They're some reminders of our obligations to our Creator. Thoughts form character. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Many thoughts make up the unwritten history of a single day, and these thoughts have much to do with the formation of character. Our thoughts are to be strictly guarded, for one impure thought makes a deep impression on the soul. An evil thought leaves an evil impress on the mind. If the thoughts are pure and holy, the man is better for having cherished them. By them the spiritual pulse is quickened and the power for doing good is increased. And as one drop of rain prepares the way for another in moistening the earth, so one good thought prepares the way for another. No one but yourself can control your thoughts. I think that's why it must be a form of abuse when we try to coerce somebody else. Christ does everything to give us freedom of choice. In the struggle to reach the highest standard, success or failure will depend much upon the character and the manner in which the thoughts are disciplined. If the thoughts are well girded, as God directs that they should be every day, they will be upon those subjects that will help us to greater devotion. If the thoughts are right, then as a result, the words will be right. The actions will be of that character to bring gladness and comfort and rest to souls. Gird up the loins of the mind that it shall work in the right direction and after the order of well-formed plans. Then every step is won in advance, and no effort or time is lost in following vague ideas and random plans. We must consider the aim and the object of life and ever keep worthy purposes in view. Every day the thoughts should be trained and kept to the point as the compass to the pole. Everyone should have his aims and purposes and then make every thought and action of that character to accomplish that which he purposes. The thoughts must be controlled with a fixedness of purpose to carry out what we undertake. Thank you for listening, and I hope this has been a blessing. We hear so many distracting things in this life that it makes heaven seem like a distant thing, but life is happening now that will tell for eternity. Can we close with prayer, please? Oh, our Father, help us to see the things that you send our way as signs that you have not forgotten us. Help us to see your presence and to accept your leading as we ought to from a loving Father who never let go of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Give us a thoughtful day with you. Amen.